I want to discuss just a few thoughts with regard to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Start with a thought from Soloveitchik, who quotes the famous Balamor in Meseches Pesachim at the very end of the Mesechta, as to why is it that we do not recite a brach of Shechayanu on Sfiras HaOmer. It's a mitzvah that comes about once a year. You would expect to say Shechayanu on a mitzvah performance that is only done on an annual basis. And the Baal HaMor answers by saying that we are not machmir with Sfiras HaOmer because it is only a zecher ba'alma. It's a zecher ba'alma. And it's only a zecher ba'alma, zecher lemikdash. So therefore, there's no need to require a bracha of Shehachayanu. Because the Baal HaMor writes, this zecher is not a pleasant remembrance. It's one that creates agmas nefesh. It reminds us of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So concludes the Baal HaMor as to why there's no Shehachayanu. Shehachayanu is indicative of simcha. You're excited to perform a mitzvah that comes about only once every year, but a mitzvah that is zeichel churban beis hamikdash, that doesn't generate simcha. That's really one that brings about tsar. Hence, there's no recital of the Shechayanu. So says the Baal HaMor. What Soloveitchik suggests is that the Baal HaMor is assuming that the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah derabanan, zeichel hamikdash, it's a zeichel churban, and therefore there's no Shechayanu. It's not a mitzvah that generates simcha. But there are Rishonim disagree. The Rambam, for example, says that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is mitzvah d'oraisa, even bisman hazeh. Nothing to do with the zecher l'churba, not a din d'rabbanan, mitzvah d'oraisa. And if that's the case, that Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah d'oraisa, so then we're left with the same question, why not recite a brach of Shechayanu on a mitzvah d'oraisa? You can only recite once every year or so, or a few times a year, one period of time every year. And what Soloveitchik suggests is the following. He says the Sefer HaChinuch tells us that we know that the ultimate objective that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind with Yetzias Mitzrayim, with Geula of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, was to bring Klal Yisrael to Har Sinai to bring about Kabbalah HaTorah. Because after all, that's what the creation of the world is all about. It's all about Torah. That's why we're created. That's why we're redeemed. It's all for Torah. And if so, says the Sefer HaChinuch, that's why we're supposed to count Sfiras HaOmer from right after Pesach until the day of Nesinas HaTorah. Why so? To demonstrate our yearning for that day of Kabbalah HaTorah. And we are looking eagerly toward when that day will arrive that will be zocha to be Kabbalah HaTorah. So writes the Sefer HaChinuch. That's why he says we count Hayom Yom Echad LaOmer, Hayom Shnei Yomim LaOmer. We're counting how many days have gone by because we are demonstrating our ratzon, our desire, intense desire to reach that point in time of Kabbalah HaTorah. And if so, if Soloveitchik suggests, if the Sfira is in essence an illustration that we have not yet gotten to that desired objective, and we're still yearning, waiting, and wishing we'd be there already, if so, perhaps a Shechayanu bracha is not fitting. Because Shechayanu means we're here, we're celebrating, we're doing a mitzvah that we've been waiting for. That's what Shechayanu is all about. We do the mitzvah of lulav, mitzvah of shofar, we're here now doing the mitzvah. But Sfiras HaOmer, it's all about we're not there yet. We're still waiting and counting as to when we'll get to the ultimate objective, which is Kabbalah HaTorah, and therefore would not be, perhaps, Soloveitchik suggests, appropriate to recite a Shechayanu, which is usually reserved for a simcha right here, right now, performing a mitzvah, when in fact right now the mitzvah performance is really a demonstration of, to a certain extent, some sort of tsa'ar, that we're not there just yet where we want to get to. In Sefer Lichos Shlomo, they cite from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach along these lines that this is why the Yom Tov of Shavuos is unique, in that every other Yom Tov, the name of the Yom Tov reflects something about the Yom Tov itself. Sukkot, Pesach, Rosh Hashanah, where through the name that we use to refer to the Yom Tov, we are referencing something about the Yom Tov that is being performed or that is happening on the Yom Tov. But Chag HaShavuos, he says, the name itself seems to be somewhat less than significant as far as the Yom Tov itself is concerned. It refers to the weeks that preceded the holiday, not the holiday itself. Somewhat of a strange name for the Torah to use with regard to the Yom Tov Shavuos, referring to the Yom Tov by referencing the weeks that passed in the lead up to the Yom Tov. And Shlomo Zalman again, along these lines, suggests that because Sfiras HaOmer is all about that preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, and those weeks are the weeks in which we express our anticipation and our yearning for Kabbalah Satorah, that excitement, that anticipation, that preparation is, in a sense, what really is the essence of Kabbalah Satorah, our excitement to get to that point, and hence it is referred to in the name given to the Yom Tov, the Chag HaShavuos. Moving on to a additional famous question discussed with regard to Sfiras HaOmer, and that is, the Menachas Chinuch, among others, discusses the Shaila of a Katan Shehigdil during Sfira. Someone who becomes a mitzvah during the Sfiras HaOmer period. So is he chayav to count Sfiras HaOmer once he becomes a bar mitzvah? If, as we know, one who forgets to count for a full night or day during the course of Sfiras HaOmer is out for the count, so to speak. So perhaps a katan who was not mechuyev a mitzvah until a certain point during Sfiras HaOmer, maybe his previous countings, which were not done as a gadol but as a katan, should not be viewed as a halachic counting. Maybe he should not be chayev to continue counting after he becomes a gadol. So that is a debate amongst the Achronim and Chaskinach, among others. But halacha l'maisa, Shlomo Zalman was very emphatic that we paskin that a katan shehigdel during Sfiras HaOmer is chayev in Sfiras HaOmer. And one explanation given by Rav Soloveitchik is the following. He argued that the reason why one who fails to count a full night and day during Sfiras HaOmer does not count further with a bracha is not because we assume that all 49 days are one big mitzvah, and if you've missed a component of it, so now you can no longer fulfill the mitzvah, but rather because, he argues, we assume that if you missed a full night and day, you're not engaged in a maisa sphira any longer. You're no longer counting. Even if it is 49 separate mitzvos. But the Bahag's shita is that you can't count number 3 if you didn't count number 2. Because the very essence of a count is that it's a consecutive count in which each day builds on the previous days that you've counted. And therefore, the Bahag, whose shita we are machmir for, says that if one forgets a night and a day, he doesn't count with the bracha further because he's lost the sfira. You can't consider it a counting if you haven't counted every day up until this point. But a katan, Soloveitchik suggested, who has counted every day, whether he was chayv or not is irrelevant. He's a gil chinuch, he was engaged in a maisa sfira, he's engaged in counting, and therefore even though he becomes a gadol on day 23, but he still had been and is still engaged in an active counting process that began when he was a katan and continues even after he becomes a gadol. And for that reason, he explained, there is no concern with a katan who becomes a gadol during Sfiras HaOmer. He's mechuyev to continue counting with a bracha, even though the first, whatever number of days it was, were not done as a bar chiyuva. Nonetheless, they do constitute a maisa sfira, and therefore he continues to count to the bracha after he becomes of age. A similar related question is, even with regard to a gadol, poskim debate, what's going to happen if somebody knows, for whatever reason, he's going to be unable to count for a 24-hour period? Someone is going into a surgical procedure, and he knows he's going to be under sedation and in recovery for an extended period of time, and he's not going to be able to count for that 24-hour period or so. Should such an individual count in the days leading up to that procedure, knowing full well that he's not going to be able to count beyond that point in time with a bracha? Would you argue that, well, if he's going to start counting days 1 through 10, knowing he's going to miss day 11 entirely, maybe days 1 through 10 are brachas levatala, if he knows he's not going to be able to count beyond day 11 with a bracha? So here as well, Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Soloveitchik both say that there is no concern with him counting even in those days leading up to that point in time when he will no longer be able to count. Shlomo Zalman's svara simply is because he's mechuyif to do what he's mechuyif to do right now. What he knows will happen in the future is irrelevant. Right now, as of today, you mechuyif to count, you count. You know you're not going to count with the bracha beyond day 10, day 11, it's irrelevant. Right now, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever it is, are you mechuyif to count with the bracha? Yes, then count. Whatever it will be, you'll deal with it then. And Rav Soloveitchik, again, using the same yesod we just mentioned a moment ago, said the fact that he is going to be unable to count beyond a certain point in time because he will have lost the maisa sphere by that point in time does not mean that the previous brachas is going to say in the days leading up to that procedure are brachas levatala. We don't assume that you are not allowed to count. We assume that every day is a standalone mitzvah to count. You can count with a bracha each and every day. If at a certain point you miss a full day, so at that point only you've lost the maisa sphere. So from that point on, you can't count with a bracha going forward. But up until that point, Soloveitchik as well says that you can count with a bracha.